When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Working Title. My name is Margot. I'm so glad that you are joining us this week. Today we are going to be doing kind of like a Q&A format, but there's a lot of advice questions. I wrote down about 10 questions that really stood out to me when I was looking on Instagram, but there's so many. So at the end, we might have to just go through and see if any new ones came up or if there's any that are speaking to me this morning, because I was writing the rest down last night. Speaking of last night, I have been having honestly really annoying dreams, and I'm wondering if I'm the only one, because in the past when I've had a series of really kind of intense, very personal, like true to life dreams, I've gone online and there have been other people saying like, okay, this is a weird time for dreams. Is anyone else experiencing this? So now I'm going to be that person and prompt if anyone else is having very intense dreams about what's going on in your life or what has gone on in your life. It leaves me just waking up feeling very confused. And then I end up doing like a deep dive on social media about what my dream was about. And it's just, it feels like it's not good. It also, whenever I have these kind of bouts of these like realistic dreams, it always makes me wonder what the significance of dreams are. I mean, obviously they're based in our subconscious, but is there any like higher power to them? Are we connected to the things that we are dreaming about? Because these feel so real and they give me these like very real nostalgic feelings that I haven't felt in a really long time. I don't know. It leaves me feeling a certain kind of way. I don't know. Are there any dream experts out there that can decode for us what this time? And maybe this is kind of more of like an astrology question. Maybe there's something going on in the astros that's affecting our subconscious. Speaking of the astros, I got the name of a tarot reader that I'm going to schedule. I'm so excited. I did yoga this morning, which I'll get into, but when I was at yoga, I was thinking about like all of these things in my life that I want to bring up to this tarot reader. He was recommended to me by a friend I haven't seen in so long, and we were at a friend's birthday party and we were just catching up, and somehow this topic of this tarot reader came up that she knew through her family, like all of her aunts and friends and everyone go to this guy, and she finally decided to go and she had this really crazy experience with him. And he doesn't let you record the session, but he allows you to write down notes as you go, which for me that works because you guys know note taking is like how I process the world anyways. You also can bring a friend, but I think I might go solo just because I feel like I would be really aware of the other people's perception of the reading while it was happening, and it would kind of take away from my experience. And maybe if I wanted to ask more like personal questions, I wouldn't. But yeah, I think he books like many, many weeks out, so I won't have an update for you guys next week. But I texted him because all of my emails have my full name attached, obviously, and I want to go in believing that this person knows absolutely nothing about me, and I am very Googleable or like searchable on social media, and you can see that I have a boyfriend who lives in a different country, and even on my podcast, I talk about things that I'm like hoping for or goals, and I just don't want to even think that they had the opportunity to look into who I am. Like, I feel like that would just take away from the magic of it all. I'm going incognito before this session, and yeah, I'll have to keep you guys updated with when I'm booked to go. I've never done anything like this. I know it's going to be definitely a bit of a splurge. I think it's like $250 for an hour session. But yeah, my friend who was telling me about him said just like the craziest things. Oh, going back to the note taking, what she does is, and I guess this is what her mom did, she would basically write like how you would write a bucket list or a checklist. So there's boxes next to each statement that he was going to make. And I guess he focuses on the next like 6 to 8 months out. And then he can also do farther readings. But where he really specializes is kind of this like short term reading. You know, I love a list. You know, I love note taking. I love talking about my future. So I feel like this could be really exciting for me, or it could be really traumatizing if he says things that are going to happen that I don't like. And I don't really know what happens in that situation. I don't know if it's like you have the ability to change your own fate if you hear things that maybe don't sound great. I don't know. I'm sure some of you listening are like, that is so woo-woo and fake. But my friend convinced me, and I think it would just be really interesting to experience. So I've been starting to write down some like thought starters and questions for when I finally book him. So I'm excited about that. This morning, I woke up pretty early and I went to yoga. And this is the most consistent I've been with doing a specific workout on like a weekly basis. I have been working out a ton, which has actually been really fun. And I've been doing a lot of workout classes at Equinox, which I've been loving, partially because I can kind of just do it whenever, like drop in when it makes sense for my schedule or when there's a class that looks good. And it's really fun because there's a huge range of different types of workouts and teachers. Like, I don't think I've ever taken the same teacher twice, which I was thinking about last night. I have no idea how I've managed to do that because I feel like at this point there would be some repeats, but it's been fun, but I'm really not consistent with the types of workouts that I do. And the most consistent workout that I've done recently has been this yoga class every single week with the same teacher, same people. It's actually so fun. I drop into my friend's studio. So my friend Henry has his own, I don't know what he would call it, like a production studio agency, content something. I don't know. Henry, if you're listening to this, I'm so sorry. I have no idea how to describe Public Opinion. It's like a creative studio, I guess. But they have a beautiful studio space, and every Tuesday morning they invite in the most amazing, spunky, unbelievable yoga teacher. Like, she actually, it's really interesting yoga. You're not just going through these same flows. But maybe if, you know, we have tight shoulders, or we're like hunching over, she can really curate the yoga class to work for our bodies in like more of like an ergonomic way, I guess. I don't think that's the right word, but yeah, it's very fun. And the reason, especially recently, that I've been really consistent is afterwards, I have a work session with one of the other women that's there, who, if you listened to last week, she is kind of like my business mentor right now. So just because I know that that's kind of like a standing meeting that we have every week, it forces me to be consistent with the yoga, which has been really nice. I think consistency has kind of become a theme of January, especially when it comes to my posting cadence and, again, working out and seeing people consistently, which has actually been really nice. It's very hard for me to stay engaged in that way, but I think it's important, especially when my work is kind of more free flowing, that I establish these structures that I stick to. And I've been really craving structure for the past couple of years, honestly, since I graduated college, because I've been kind of doing my own thing even when I've been like more full time. So it's been really nice to start implementing that and just practicing that consistency in my routine, which definitely does not come naturally to my lifestyle. So that being said, here we are with another working title episode. Again, I asked you guys on Instagram to leave questions or advice for me to respond to. And I was kind of giggling scrolling through all these questions because I'm like, who am I to give advice? Like, I do not have the answers. I think something that I do well is I ask a lot of questions to myself, to the people around me, to a wide audience through my No Particular Order prompts, but it doesn't mean I have the answers, obviously. So take everything I say with a grain of salt. I'm coming from my own experience, maybe what has worked for me or what has happened in my own life, but it does feel a little bit silly giving advice because honestly, what do I know? Starting with this question that I like because I think I have a pretty straightforward answer to. The question is, how do you not get psyched out about relationship timelines? This theme has kind of come up in a lot of conversations I've had with girlfriends recently, especially because I'm starting to get to the age where engagements are happening, marriages are happening. So then it kind of prompts people to think about in their own lives if that's something that they're planning on or if they want. I think the solution to this of not getting psyched out is a three-part solution. First part, and this is assuming that you are in a relationship, is having open communication about this with your partner. Making sure that, like, just you and your partner, the rest of the world aside, are kind of on the same page. That is, like, the most important thing. And that should be paramount in when you're thinking about, like, timelines. The second thing, and this can be whether you're in a relationship or not, is what are your goals? If you are, like, super career-oriented right now, or maybe you're super, like, social, spending time with girlfriends, like really living up your 20s focused, then maybe getting engaged and getting married and starting a family can be like pushed off because that's just not one of your priorities in this part of your life. But maybe one of your goals is to be a young parent. So then you have to kind of like adjust your timelines and figure out, okay, how old do you want to be when you have kids? What does that mean? Do you want to be married when you have kids? Do you want to have a partner for like a really long time before you have kids? Like bringing that communication with your partner and just kind of bringing it more internal and thinking about it for yourself. And the last thing when you're thinking about kind of getting psyched out about timelines is how much of that is coming from like a societal pressure or family pressure. Once you can identify really what those like outside pressures are and just remove them. Again, I know it can be easier said than done, but these are such big things to think about. If you're just rushing into it because you feel like everybody else is, I just don't think that that would ever end well. Okay, we're gonna go to a lighthearted question next. Somebody asked for good birthday party outfit ideas. My answer is completely inspired by my friend Freddie. It was just her birthday party that I was talking about this past weekend. I was obsessed with her look. She wore just a very simple, like chic outfit, but it was an outfit that honestly, I could imagine her wearing anywhere to like a cocktail party or to work. But you know, if she wore like a blazer over, she just wore like a really beautifully fitted black top and black jeans and heels. And then her kind of like wow moment was she had this unbelievable blowout, like almost Dolly Parton blowout. Her hair was amazing. And I think, you know, if you're not like a big blowout or like crazy hair person, you could do like getting your makeup done or even getting like highlights. I love the idea of keeping the clothes something that feels very true to you. I have so many birthdays that I look back and I just wore like a fancy dress or, you know, an expensive shoe or whatever, just because I felt like I had to have some like wow interesting factor about my outfit because it was my birthday, or like wearing something like super colorful when I normally would never wear that. I love the idea of just wearing clothes that you know make you feel good. It can be clothes that you've had in your closet for years and then just kind of like spending that extra time or money or whatever it is on hair or makeup or whatever just makes you feel pretty that you wouldn't normally do. This next question is kind of loaded, so I will answer it to the best of my abilities. But the question is, how do I survive my early 20s? Please help, Sister Margot. I love Sister Margot. It makes me sound like a nun, and I absolutely love it. Sister Margot is here to tell you that your early 20s, specifically the year to 2 years after college, is so rough. It is so hard to navigate that time, mostly because you feel like you're forced to figure out who you are in this world, like basically overnight. And the reality and what I'm here to tell you is that that is never going to happen. I don't think there's ever going to be one day where we wake up and we're like, oh, this is exactly who I am. This is exactly who I want to be for the rest of my life. So just allowing yourself freedom and time to figure out what's important to you, what your career path is going to look like, the types of people that you want to surround yourself with. The more experiences that we gain, the easier it is to kind of like understand where we fit. And you can't force time or experiences. Like, they're going to happen when they happen. So you will get through it. It will all make sense. I'm still very much in the middle of it. I'm 25. So hopefully in the grand scheme of things, I know nothing right now. And I look back and I'm like, oh my God, she was such a fool in her 20s. So yeah, it's okay. We're all confused. I love this next question because it reminds me of this interview that I watched last night of Patti Smith. It is an unbelievable interview. It's like 6 minutes long. The question is how to not give up on content creation after years of slow growth. So maybe you're a content creator. Maybe you are an artist of another kind, or feel free to replace that content creator phrase with whatever you're working on. And if you just feel like you've been working at something for so long, this is for you. There is so much pressure on us as Gen Z to like get our name out there and get attention. And I was watching another, I forget if it was a podcast or where I heard this, but it was this conversation about how millennials, when they were growing up, the thing that was really glamorized to them and the thing that all of the like young millennials wanted was money. And entering the workforce and the goal being making a lot of money and having riches and a lot of valuable material goods. For Gen Z, it's completely different. Money has kind of been pushed aside, and the thing that Gen Z is now after is attention. And it has the same effect of wanting money because we feel as though there's a limited pool of attention. So everyone's kind of fighting for that. There's not really this like abundance mentality. So in order to get that attention, our generation is willing to sacrifice our values and our even like our pride in order to get that attention. And there's some crazy stuff that people are doing online to bring attention to whatever it is that they're working on and to get more of that instant gratification. So if it's content creation, like maybe it's being super controversial online or creating like a caricature out of yourself. If it's art, then maybe it's like selling out faster or sacrificing the quality of your art so that it's able to live on digital platforms, even if that's like really not the form that you feel like it exists best in. This is where the Patti Smith interview comes in. She shares this advice that she received from William Burroughs, which is basically to respect your name. I think because there is such a sprint to be noticed and to get that attention and have this like do whatever it takes mentality. I'm obviously speaking generally for Gen Z, but a lot of people are willing to put their values aside just so that they can reach that quicker. It just won't age well. And I don't think it's a classy thing to do. I think ultimately it's so much more harmful than helpful. I'm going to insert the clip here because Patti Smith is obviously a lot more eloquent than I am talking about this.
A writer or any artist can't expect to be embraced by the people. You know, I've done records where it seemed like no one listened to them. You write poetry books that maybe, you know, 50 people read, and you just keep doing your work because you have to, because it's your calling. But it's beautiful to be embraced by the people. When I was really young, William Burroughs told me, and I was really struggling, we never had any money, and William, the advice that William gave me was build a good name. You know, keep your name clean. Don't make compromises. Don't worry about making a bunch of money or being successful. Be concerned with doing good work and make the right choices and protect your work. And if you build a good name, eventually, you know, that name will be its own currency. And I remember when he told me that and I said, Yeah, but William, my name's Smith, you know, isn't it? Just joking, but...
I'm going to put the rest of that talk in the show notes because everything she talks about, it's very short. It's like 6 minutes, but it's just so many good morsels. But I think it's important that whatever we are pursuing, we continue to be patient and respect ourselves enough to not push for that instant gratification too much. Even for me, like I've seen a loss on Instagram. Like I've been losing followers for the past year, but I don't feel like I am sacrificing anything or becoming something that I don't feel that I am just to appease the algorithm. And the thinking there is just having trust in yourself that there is something greater coming and there's always something bigger ahead and you're just at the beginning of your path and you don't want to tarnish your name and your brand, especially because like that's really what we are online. That's how we present ourselves as a package, is as like this personal brand. I don't think it's worth tarnishing that for something that like in the year 2024 is sexy, which maybe is having followers or selling a certain amount of art. I don't know if I am explaining this well. Hopefully the Patti Smith clip kind of pulled this all together better than I'm doing it. I just love that idea of respecting your name and trusting that you're just building something for your future self. And it's kind of just about respecting that person and staying true to who you are. Totally changing track now. Somebody said, I got engaged over the summer and my best friend has said nothing about it. What do I do? Okay. I read this and I was like, I had to reread it a couple times. What? That is literally insane of your best friend. There's something very off about that, and I think there needs to be a conversation. First of all, I feel like engagements and like planning weddings and everything is just so fun. So it's not like a heavy thing to talk about or to avoid. I'm curious if there's a reason that maybe your best friend doesn't like the person that you're engaged to. And that's not as fun of a conversation, but I think it's a really important conversation to have if you think that's what's going on. The other reason that I can think of is that there's just jealousy there and she wishes that she was engaged, but that's just so weird. I think you need to have a conversation with her and then get back to us and give us an update about why she hasn't said anything over 7 months of you being engaged. I have so many questions. But if it's because she's jealous, then I think she needs to be cut off, because that's a very exciting time in your life and you deserve to have somebody to squeal about it with. And if she hasn't said it, then I will say it. Congratulations. That's very exciting. Okay, lighthearted question. Somebody asked, weirdest encounter in New York. These superlative questions are always so hard for me to answer, but I will say, Sarah, my cousin, and I have this really weird experience with this one specific person where we have seen this person in multiple very different types of spaces, and they are always wearing the exact same thing, and they are always holding the exact same thing. And I don't want to give any more specifics because honestly, it kind of creeps us out a little bit. But we always joke, like, whenever we see this, New York just feels like such a simulation. It just feels like that was like a lazy kind of like NPC entry by our like game players, because this person literally pops up. And now we'll just keep each other updated on when we see them. And it's partially frightening because we're like, is this person stalking us? But I don't think they are. I think it's just a really weird coincidence. Also, just talking about this makes me think of this TikTok that I saw this morning of this guy reading a comment on another TikTok that referred to Manhattan as Work Island, which honestly is so accurate. And I love thinking about life as a simulation. I think it makes it very fun and kind of like stress-free. Like, oh, we're all just kind of part of this big game. And thinking of Manhattan as Work Island literally could not be more accurate. Like, even when I think about this time in my life and when I zoom out how I'm going to think about it, it's all very like career-oriented and kind of like leveling up and like gamified almost. And calling Manhattan Work Island is genius. And it just makes me visualize the world as such like a Sims world. And I love it. And I love living on Work Island. Somebody asked how to deal with a friend group choosing your ex's side after the breakup. Okay, first of all, that's honestly so brutal and tough to deal with. And I'm so sorry that you're going through that. I can only imagine how hurtful that is. My guess would be that they were either friends with your ex before they were friends with you. So that's kind of like it naturally just settles the way that it started. But if that's not the case, if you like met this friend group when you were already a couple, or if you introduced your partner to them and then they're ditching you for the partner, which would just be crazy. I think the shitty reality of this is that it's just a time to find a new friend group, and that will totally take like time and effort. And maybe this is a good opportunity to start reaching out to people that like you went to school with that you haven't seen in a while or that you work with, and just like start building those relationships that were always kind of on the back burner. But I'm very sorry you're going through that. That's really tough. There were a lot of career specific questions. These I would love to dive deeper into when we have guests and actually kind of start segmenting them into different industries and different stages in career, because that's just a big can of worms. But a very simple answer, somebody asked tips for landing a job right now. I have three friends who have gotten their dream jobs on LinkedIn within the past like 3 to 4 months. One of them is working at a food and hospitality magazine. One of them is working at a wine magazine. And one of them is working at a like institution in New York. You know who you are. And they're all LinkedIn success stories. So I think it's easy to overlook that, at least for my close friends. With persistence, it has been a great way of finding opportunities. And it's so cool because all of them want to be in these positions for like 10 plus years, at least in their vantage point now, which is so cool that we're like starting to get to that point in our lives where we are really excited about where we are and not feeling like we constantly have changed things. I think that's a cool part of growing up. Okay, this last one I'm going to end on is any ideas for not basic art for my bedroom? I hear you. It is so hard to find art, especially affordable art for our spaces. There's one website that I absolutely love that I got a lot of prints from, and it's super affordable. They always do like 50% off sales, is allposters.com. I love it because they have a lot of art that not everyone has. Like Society 6 is great because they have good quality prints and they'll frame stuff. But it feels like everything on there is things that you've seen in like 50,000 other people's apartments. So I love All Posters, especially if you have good search terms. It's kind of overwhelming if you just go into scroll and they don't have great stuff on the landing page. So that's a great place to look. My art, my big piece of art in my apartment that I love is a piece of linen that I got at a vintage store in Nolita. And it's actually, let me get the name of it. I'm sitting right under it. It's a textile company that they actually, I think, have more. It's called Fifth Avenue Design, Inc. I haven't seen this design. It's kind of like a mid-century blue and green grid thing. I haven't seen this specific design online, but I have seen other of their textiles on eBay, or even if that's kind of just like a starting point to find beautiful linens. And then I got it framed. So the framing was definitely expensive. It was probably around $800, which for a big print, that's just like how much things cost to frame. But if you find a beautiful linen, you don't even need to frame it. You can almost use it as like a tapestry on a wall. I would also check out Marshalls and H&M Home and IKEA all have really good frames. So if you have art or even personal pictures, I feel like our generation, because everything is so digital, forgets that just framing a meaningful photograph of either people that you love or a place that you love or even like objects that you really like, maybe even going out and taking photos with the intention of framing it, that can be such great art in our apartments and way more meaningful than something that we get on like a print database. Okay, guys, this might have been a bit of a shorter episode, but I think we got a good range of questions in. Let me know if you liked this format. I'm getting a FaceTime from Sarah. Let's close out the episode with her. Sarah, I'm closing out the episode. Do you want to do it for me? Where are you? Oh, she's putting her headphones on, guys. I'm staring at a beautiful ceiling.
Let me put my podcast voice on.
Okay, wait. Here are the key points that we have to hit. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Definitely got to throw in, rate it 5 stars, leave us a review. And the last thing is, I don't know, you can ad-lib the last part of that. Okay, hit it.
Thank you so much for listening. Loved having you here. Don't forget to share with all your friends. Give us a 5-star review on Apple and wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have an amazing day.
I also just love that you're in like a quiet cafe and everyone around you is probably